2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Shut him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball. It's Wednesday, January 4th, 2017. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chedchesko. And Ched, we're going all over the place tonight. We're going to talk the Eagles closing out the season with a win over the Cowboys to finish 7-9. By the way, there's no such thing as a meaningless win. We're going to talk final 15 for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, including Brian Dawkins. We've got Fred and Butter time to talk Wild Card Weekend, Penn State. Did I mention that you sat down for an unbelievably cool interview with two-time Stanley Cup champion and Broad Street Bully Bob the Hound Kelly? We are loaded up.
Yeah, we are indeed, Bill. And right off the bat, let me give you a brief snippet from my Tuesday chat with Bob Kelly, a little teaser soundbite. Me asking if there are any memorable fights of his that come to mind. And that's not it, so hold on here. Here we go.
Very happy to be joined on Philly Press Box Radio by a...
Well, we're off to a great start here because that is not the audio that I wanted to hear. So this is Bob Kelly. Let's try it one more time on his most memorable fight.
Probably Steve Dermano with St. Louis Blues. He knocked the trainer's teeth out, and I jumped over the boards and beat the crap out of him.
There you go. I promise you. Every old-time Flyers fan will enjoy hearing what Bob Kelly has to say in our wide-ranging interview coming up later in the show. And again, thanks to our buddy Steve Switkowitz for putting us in touch with the Hound.
Oh, that's awesome. Can't wait. And just so the listeners know, I have not heard this interview either, so I am certainly looking forward to that. Jeff, before we get started, we want to put a bow on 2016 and send it away and welcome in 2017 at Philly Press Box Radio.
Yeah, we do, and hopefully our listeners took a couple of minutes to check out the piece on our website, essentially recapping our 2016 at Philly Press Box Radio, an overview of our 47 shows with some 40 different guests, including folks like Merrill Reese, Bill Berge, Seth Joyner, Tom McCarthy, Tom McGinnis, roller derby legend Judy Arnold, the great Glenn Wilson, a bunch of awesome media types like Ray Didinger, Mark Eckel, Kevin Cooney, and Mike Sielski, Frank Fitzpatrick, and yes, even Coach Dick Vermeil. And then the launch exactly 3 months ago tomorrow of our website, phillypressboxradio.com. It was quite a year, but, you know, we're going to try to somehow even top that here in the new year.
Well, and it has been a great 2016, and I certainly want to join everybody as well in saying thank you and for joining us, the guests, the sponsors, you, Chet, and I together. We've worked real hard on this thing, and certainly the listeners that have been there every week with us and helping us get through 2016 and bigger and better things in 2017, I hope.
Yeah, we're having fun, and we're going to try to have even more fun as we go along here.
You bet. Hey, high hopes for 2017. Here we go. Let's get it rolling. We will have our Carl's Cards and Collectibles trivia question tonight about 7:22 or so. We'll be giving away a really cool 8x10 black and white photo of a Broad Street Bullies melee. And it's signed by our guest tonight, Bob Kelly, along with Bobby the Chief Taylor and the late Rick McLeish. Bill Clement and Tom Bladen are also on the photo, so they can easily be added. So be ready for this. The shopforkisses.org phone line to answer the trivia question is 929-477-55. That's 929-477-2855. And, Chet, I'm going to give a hint already. The question will be a Bob Kelly question. And it's not a real easy question, but a Bullies fan and certainly a Bob Kelly fan will know the answer.
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, Chet, now that we've had a few days to digest the Cowboys game and the season, what's your assessment of the 2016 Eagles, and what did you think in the end?
You know, I've thought about the season in recent days quite a lot. And what's somewhat weird is they went 7-9. My prediction made in our first September show, days after the Sam Bradford trade and the anointing of Carson Wentz as the starter, was that they would go 6-10. Well, you and Fred Hugo both said 8-8. So the three of us were all just one game off of the actual 7-9 record. And yet the season feels like a disappointment. Why is that? Well, it's because of that damn 3-0 start that teased us into thinking that maybe this team was actually going to be pretty darn good in year one of the Doug Peterson era, maybe even make a deep playoff run. So needless to say, you know, that didn't happen. The Lane Johnson suspension, though, that did happen. And we also learned that you're not going to win 10 or 12 games without any great weapons, with an offensive line that uses five different guys at right tackle, and with an inconsistent defense. Just not going to happen.
Well, and, you know, I kind of take the other side of this, and certainly I was kind of led to believe they'd be better with a 3-0 start as well. And but even the losses, almost every game, and I think Frank Fitzpatrick talked about this a few weeks ago, every game but, say, three, the Eagles competed in every one of those games. And I'm not going to go so far as to say one play here, one play there, because that's in any game. But I think Doug Peterson maybe got more out of less than almost anybody in the league. I'm good. I think they did quite well.
Yeah, I agree on that front. I mean, look at the Cowboys game, the first Cowboys game, the one that really mattered. The Eagles had that game in their hands. And look at the two rosters. Look at all the weapons the Cowboys have. Look at their offensive line. Look at Ezekiel Elliott versus, you know, the slop the Eagles have been throwing out there at running back this year. The Cowboys just had so much more talent, and yet the Eagles essentially gave that game away to the Cowboys in the fourth quarter. And as you said, they were in pretty much every game except maybe the Packers and Bengals, maybe one other one. They had, I think, six games where they lost by less than a touchdown. So, yeah, you know, a play or two here could have swung those. I think the danger, and some other people have talked about this, the danger is to thinking that, you know, they are really, really close to being a big-time contender. And they're not. They're not yet. They need several things to be a real legitimate contender. I did like what Howie Roseman said in his news conference today, the fact that, you know, even 10-6 is not necessarily going to make you a legitimate contender, that they still have a lot of work to do. They don't want to fool themselves into thinking, you know, maybe you can sneak into the playoffs and then get lucky. They want to build for the long term, so now we just got to make sure that Howie and Joe Douglas follow through on this and be careful about what they're doing in the offseason. They don't have a lot of cap room. They got to spend wisely and draft extremely wisely.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about, let's jump ahead. We'll talk about these free agents right now, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the Eagles. But while we're talking about doing better in 2017 and in the draft, we posted an article this morning on the website, phillypressboxradio.com, about the present Eagles free agents. And you care to take a swipe at who will be back? And are any of these guys the answer, Chet? And in case anyone hasn't seen the list, I'll go down it real quick. Unrestricted free agents: Benny Logan, 27 years old. Nolan Carroll, 29. Stefan Wisniewski, 27. Brian Braman, 29. Nyjae Good, 27. And Stephen Tulloch, 32, are the unrestricted free agents.
Well, from what I understand, Logan is probably not going to be back just because he's going to command a pretty big salary, and the Birds just don't have a whole lot of money to throw at him after the spending that they did last year. So I'm just expecting Benny Logan to be gone. Nolan Carroll, they've been apparently talking with about, you know, bringing him back. I'm not sure why. I'm not really a big Nolan Carroll fan. He got burned a lot. He took a lot of penalties, maybe as a reserve, but I don't really want to see him starting again at cornerback, do you? Steph Wisniewski, he was kind of brought in under the assumption he was going to be competing for a starting job on the O-line this past year. Never really got that chance. He did play as a starter, though, on five or six occasions because of injuries and whatnot. Not sure if he's coming back. I don't know. He's okay. He's only 27. Brian Braman is one of those guys who is, you know, a name you don't hear a lot, but he is a pretty good special teams player. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought him back. He's, you know, not going to cost them a lot. Same with Najee Good. He's been back and forth from the Eagles roster, I think, like five times over the last few years. So, you know, whatever. Bring him back. Not. Stephen Tulloch, he's not coming back, I don't think. He was a misfire. You know, Schwartz knew him, and they thought he was going to add a lot of linebacking depth. How often did you hear Stephen Tulloch's name called over the last 10 weeks or so, not much at all. So, you know, out of the six guys that you mentioned there among the unrestricted free agents, Carroll might be back. I don't really care if he is, though. Wisniewski, Braman, good, maybe. Tulloch, no. Logan, no.
Well, and I'm gonna chime in on this too. I think Wisniewski's back. He's gonna add that depth. I don't know that they make any changes on the offensive line unless they unload Peters, which I think is such a huge cap space move. I think they may unload him, but I think Wisniewski gives them depth at the guards or at center. I think he stays. You know, in your comment on Tulloch, I think the reason that we didn't see Tulloch is because Jordan Hicks played all 16 weeks, and I don't know that anybody really expected that. He's been an injury guy throughout his whole entire career in college and the pros. So that, I think that's why we didn't see Tulloch, although he did start in the Cowboys game this week. So, you know, if he comes cheap enough, you might have a guy like him as a backup. Same with Braman. He's going to have to come cheap. I'm with you on Nolan Carroll. I didn't like when they got him. I don't think he's done much while he's been here. He's okay for me to leave, and I think Benny Logan goes as well. So not much in that group of unrestricted free agents. So let's talk restricted free agents real quick, and there's only two.
Yep.
Trey Burton at 25-year-old tight end. He's a third stringer. Kenyon Barner, 27-year-old running back. What do you think there?
Trey Burton absolutely comes back. He got, you know, he had a very good year for them. Third tight end who played a lot and actually was involved in the offense more than Brent Celek, who was more of a blocker this year. Trey Burton, very versatile. He even did a little long snapping, of course, in that game when Durenbos got hurt. So, yeah, Burton is back for sure. He's 25, a likable guy. Barner, I don't know. They don't seem real high on him, so I'm not sure about Barner. I personally like the guy. I would bring Barner back, but I don't know if they're going to agree.
Well, I think the question with Barner is going to be, what are they going to do with the rest of these guys? I think, you know, it looks like Matthews, with his back surgery, he's probably done. Some will certainly done with the Eagles. He's probably done for his career. So, you know, it's getting pretty thin back there. So Barner may make it on numbers, but they're certainly going to bring some other guys in. So we'll see how that goes. And Burton, I agree. He's, you know, he's the heir apparent to Celek as the backup and possibly the two tight end guy, and seemed like the kind of guy that Carson Wentz liked to throw the ball to. So he'll certainly be back.
Yep.
And the last guy, Chet, and I never even knew this was a thing. It's called exclusive rights free agent. There's one, Jalen Watkins, a 25-year-old defensive back who's a holdover from the Chip Kelly era. And basically what exclusive rights means is he has to come back. If we want him, he has to come back. He doesn't have any other choices.
So it's a not-so-free agent, apparently.
You're right. I never even heard.
Yeah, bring him back. Why not? He adds a little depth to the secondary. He's not going to be an all-pro, at least not anytime soon. But, you know, he did okay as a guy who got in there and played a decent amount of snaps. Bring him back. Why not?
Yeah, I'm not a real fan, but they don't have anything else at this point. So I don't really have a big problem with that. But, hey, something else I wanted to throw back at you. I was watching the game the other day, the Central Michigan game, and they were talking about the wide receiver from Central Michigan who's pretty good. And they said that he's rated right now in a lot of places as the third best wide receiver coming out. And but interestingly enough, as the conversation went, it really wasn't about him. It was just overall that the draft year for wide receivers is as weak as it's been in many years. And that's not good for the Eagles.
Ooh, I did not hear that. No, that is definitely not good news. Because I remember last year they said it was, you know, pretty deep for both last year and this year. But I guess something has changed since then. So, yeah, that's not good news for the Eagles. But I did hear that there are some decent running backs who will be available. So, you know, maybe they'll snag a running back to play with Smallwood and company in the backfield.
Yeah, and let me ask you this without putting you too much on the spot, because we don't have names at this point, but we have the 14th pick. If we're sitting here at 14, the pick comes to you, at least what position are you picking?
I'm going to go cornerback for sure, because that secondary has a lot of problems, and especially at the corner position. They got burned with a lot of passes this year. There seemed to be some confusion back there. Some of that's on the coaching for sure, but a lot of it's on the players too. So for me, It's definitely cornerback number one, assuming there's, you know, somebody decent available at 14 or 15. I think there's a coin flip involved, whether they're 14th or 15th.
Right. Well, we'll see. I mean, there's so many needs. The best player on the board could be the one to take. We'll see what happens. But, hey, Chet, let's move on. Our buddy Big John Robert T has, so he shall receive. We're going to discuss the final 15 of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2017. There are only four or five that can be picked. Are you ready to fill out your ballot? And obviously, there's nothing but great players. And, matter of fact, I looked at the list of 11, you know, that got cut off of the list that went from 26 to 15 and thought I'd take them. Torrey Holt, Edgerrin James, Steve Atwater, great players who did not even make the cut down to 15.
Yeah, a lot of great players for sure. Okay, now, do you want five guys whom I would vote for, or do you want the four or five who I think will get in this year? What's your pleasure?
Oh, I don't care. Whatever you're ready to go on the record with.
I'm going to tell you who I think will get in, okay? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you three names first, and then you can give me three, and then we'll talk about the final two. And don't tell me anything about Brian Dawkins just yet. We're going to save Brian because everybody wants to know about B-Doc. For me, there's one absolute lock, and that, of course, is LaDainian Tomlinson, great running back for a long time. And there are a couple of near locks this year for me, too. I really think both Kurt Warner and Terrell Owens get in. Lots of positive talk about Warner this year. We know his story, you know, from supermarket and Arena Bowl to Super Bowl champion. I think Warner gets in. And as for T.O., I think they just kind of said last year, you know, you're not going to go in on the first ballot, T.O., but in a year or two, sure. So how can you keep the second leading receiver of all time out? T.O. gets in along with Kurt Warner and LaDainian Tomlinson. Those are three names for you right there.
Well, I am going to disagree with two of them. I bet that surprises
Whoa.
You.
Yes.
I am going to go with the lock. LaDainian Tomlinson is my number one. Kurt Warner does not make my top five this time around. Not because I have any problem with Kurt Warner. I'm just going to go with five other guys. As far as Terrell Owens, the reason he doesn't get in as the second leading receiver is because of his baggage. I'm going to go with the fourth leading receiver, and that's Isaac Bruce, wide receiver of the Rams that also has a Super Bowl ring as well. So I'm going Isaac Bruce as my number two guy. My number three guy, which is probably going to shed some light on, well, you know what? I'm going to go to my number five guy first. There's a bunch of offensive linemen, and we can't not have an offensive lineman in this group. So I am going to go with Alan Faneca, a nine-time Pro Bowler who in his 13-year career missed one game. So I am going Alan Faneca with my who was my fifth pick, but third in this discussion.
You know, I heard Ray Didinger talk about Faneca on the radio earlier today, and he said, yeah, he likes Faneca over Joe Jacoby if they're, you know, going to put one of those guys in. The problem for me is whoever really watches the offensive line that closely, especially guards. Now, I know Faneca had a pretty good career, as you said, 13 years, missed only one game. He was a stalwart on that Steelers team for, I guess, the first 10 years of his career. So, hey, I'm fine with that. But I myself can't really judge just how good an O lineman is. But, okay, I'll take that. Let me give you my other two now.
Thing about that, of the 15, four of them are linemen. Faneca, Tony Boselli, Joe Jacoby, Kevin Mawoff, all great players, but all linemen. So one of them, you can't end up with 15 linemen that don't make it. So one of them is going to go, so I'm picking Faneca.
You know, I didn't even think about that. You're probably right. So, I don't know. As for my other two, as far as who I think will get in, though, in addition to Tomlinson, Warner, and T.O., this is where it gets tough. I will say that cornerback Ty Law gets in. He had a pretty great 15-year career. How can you keep him out? And the fifth one, in my opinion, will be – are you ready to talk about Dawkins here? I'm going to say
– Oh, you are.
Okay. The fifth one, in my opinion, will be a very popular long-term NFL safety named John Lynch. Yeah, I'm going to say Lynch goes in ahead of B-Doc, unfortunately, but – I would love to be wrong about that. This is the fourth time Lynch is a finalist, and I just think the voters will opt to put him in ahead of Dawkins.
Okay. Well, again, we'll disagree on some things. How's that? That's a surprise.
Okay.
I'm going to reach out here, and I'm not overwhelmed with his pick, but I just think he did enough in his short career, Super Bowl MVP, league MVP, 2,000-yard season. I'm going to go with Terrell Davis as my number four guy. Just not sure why exactly, but I just think he's going to get in, which gives me my fifth guy.
Wait, before you go to him, before you go to him, let me tell you something about Davis. I heard Ray talk about Davis also, and Dinger also is a big fan of Davis. He only played 6 or 7 years, all with the Broncos, but as you said, he won 2 Super Bowls, and at that time in the late 90s, he was the best running back in the league. So Ray Diddy would like your pick of Terrell Davis.
Well, there you go. Well, in my last pick, I am going to agree with you. As much as I want to see Brian Dawkins get in, I said last year I thought John Lynch would get in. And although I, you know, you could put them two in a hat and probably come up with the same player, but John Lynch has waited 4 years. And I just don't see Brian passing John Lynch over because they're in my mind, they're equal players. So I am going John Lynch as well. And Brian Dawkins, as much as we hate to say, is going to have to wait a year.
Oh, boy. Oh, speaking of Brian Dawkins, I don't know if you heard, but let me play this little cut from Brian Dawkins yesterday on his possibility of going into the Hall of Fame.
When that time comes, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make sure, if you can, that you join me so when we go out there, we can party and we can turn that place green, Eagle Green.
Eagle Green, turn Canton Eagle Green. I can't wait till it happens. It's probably, I'm not going to say probably. I don't think it's going to be this year, but I'm hopeful that it will be next year, and I'm going to do my best to get out there.
And I know people are going to probably jump all over us for not picking him, and certainly we both want him to be in there, but I just don't think as a first-timer it's going to happen. And well, it's going to happen at some time. I just don't see it happening this year.
Yep, I'm with you.
Okay, so you have Tomlinson, Lynch, Warner, Owens, and Law.
Right.
I have Tomlinson, Bruce, Lynch, Davis, and Faneca.
So we only agree on two as far as who we think will get in.
Yeah. Tomlinson and Lynch.
Lynch. But you're probably right about an old lineman getting in there. I neglected to keep that in mind. I think an offensive lineman will get in, so you're probably going to be right on that one.
Hey, no, unfortunately, it's not going to be Jerry Kramer.
he's still not in, huh?
Not even on the ballot. Kenny Easley.
That is hard to believe.
Kenny Easley, the old Seahawks defensive back, is the Veterans Committee representative this year. Good player.
Okay.
So, all right, Ted, good stuff. Hey, it's trivia time. We'll be giving away the really cool 8x10 black and white photo of the Broad Street Bullies Melee, signed by our guest Bob Kelly, along with Bobby the Chief Taylor and the late Rick McLeish, Bill Clement, and Tom Bladen also on the photo, so they can be easily added. Be ready for this. The shopforkisses.org phone line to answer the trivia question, 929-477-2855. Chet, we need to give this thing away. It's really cool. If not, I'm going to have to get it from Carl myself. All right, here we go.
Let's do it.
And I'm going to tell you, this surprised me, okay? Bob Kelly scored a career-high 26 goals and had a career-high 36 assists at the age of 30. The year he left the Flyers after playing 10 years for them. He played one more year for this team before retiring after a nice 12-year career. What team did the Hound play his last two seasons for? What do you think, Mr. Chesko?
I think someone will know that or be able to figure it out. So let's give this thing away. It's a nice little pick for any diehard Flyers fan. So let's do it.
Yep, and whoever knew Bob Kelly scored 26 goals and had 36 assists in 1 year? I did not. Good stuff. All right. While they're thinking about that, let's thank our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.ShopForKisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043.
Is it that time? Is it that time, Bill?
It is.
I think it is.
That time.
Let's do it.
It's bread and butter time with our special guest, Fred Hugo, joining us to provide a breakdown of this week's games. Fred, welcome back.
What's going on, guys? NFL playoff time.
Love it.
Well, hey, the regular season pick'em is over, Fred. And how do we finish up, and how do we do in our college football four games we picked?
Well, real quick, we already knew you won, but the final standings are you were 36-20-1, Bill. I was 33-23-1, and Chet, you were on fire. I think you went 3-1 last week too. You were 31-25-1. You finished off with so
nice finish. It's all about how you finish.
Yeah, that was a nice run there. I plummeted, but the college games, I actually was successful there. I went 3-1. Bill, you went 2-2, and Chet, you were 1-3.
Oh boy.
Ooh. Well, you know,
how about them Lions?
Yeah, we're going to talk about them Lions.
I had to reach out on that Washington, real reach, but I was hoping for them, so it was all good. But I certainly like that Clemson pick, and I like that Florida State pick.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook was you were all over that one.
Yeah, he was good. Well, hey, Fred, Saturday we have the Raiders visiting the Texans. The Lions are visiting the Seahawks. On Sunday, we have the Dolphins visiting the Steelers and the Giants visiting the Packers. What do we got?
Starting off with the Raiders and Texans. The Raiders are 12-4 visiting Houston. Houston comes in as a 3.5-point favorite. In week 11, the Raiders beat the Texans 27-20. That was in Mexico. This game, basically, you have two. I feel bad for Raiders fans, but you got Brock Osweiler starting, and then you got Connor Cook starting. So, feel bad for the Raiders for Cook, obviously. Brock Osweiler, he has a 72 quarterback rating. I didn't like him in Denver. He just stinks. I never really liked him. The Texans defense, however, they play well at home. They basically carry the team. They've averaged the fewest yards per game in the NFL. They're going to try to make Connor Cook, who is the first quarterback in the Super Bowl era to make his first start in a playoff game. They're obviously going to try to rattle him and cause some turnovers. Last week, it looked like the Raiders didn't even show up against I'm drawing a blank there. But I think that they try to create turnovers as well. I think it's going to come down to turnovers, and I don't know. I'm leaning towards the Texans, but I hate Brock Osweiler way too much. I'm going Raiders 16, Texans 13.
All right, Derek Carr's injury pretty much wiped out any aspirations the Raiders had regarding a deep playoff run. I know Houston's quarterback situation has been in flux in recent weeks, but they do have home field advantage, so I'm going to take the Texans.
Yeah, it's a flip for me. I'm going to take the Texans for only one reason, and that is that they are home. So I'm going Texans.
All right. The next game is the 9-7 Lions travel to Seattle, who were 10-5-1. The Seahawks are now 8-point favorites. The Lions basically stumble into this game on a 3-game losing streak, really, and the Seahawks just got by the 49ers. They've been very inconsistent down the stretch, alternating their wins and losses, I think, for the last 7 games. I look at this, the Lions, you got to run the ball in the playoffs. The Lions haven't had a 100-yard rusher. I didn't realize this since 2013. They're averaging 80 yards a game. The Seahawks defense, it isn't the same without Earl Thomas, but I'll think it's good enough. Russell Wilson will take this one. I think the Seahawks win it at home 30-14.
All right. I'm not going to give a score, but postseason experience means a lot. The Seahawks have a lot more of it than the Lions in recent years. So got to go with the 12th man, Seattle.
Well, I find it interesting. I'm going to take Seattle, too, because I just think they're better. Russell Wilson's better than that Georgia kid playing quarterback for the Lions. But that's beside the point. I thought it was interesting that Jim Caldwell had to answer questions about being fired from the Lions just yesterday. They're in the playoffs, for God's sake. I don't know what they expect from them. But anyway, that's a side note. I'm going Seahawks.
All right. I didn't know that. That's crazy that they were doing that there.
Yeah, really.
Well, so the next game is the Dolphins, who are 10-6, travel to Pittsburgh, 11-5. Pittsburgh's a 10-point favorite. I feel bad for Dolphins fans, too. They have to deal with a backup quarterback as well. The teams met earlier this year in Miami, 130-15, but that was in Miami. It's going to be very, very cold on Sunday. Pittsburgh's won 7 in a row. I think the weather's, it's supposed to be a high of 23 and a low of 12 degrees. One reason and one reason only I'm taking the Steelers is Matt Moore starting. There's no way that Matt Moore is going into Heinz Field and beating the Steelers. Steelers win this 28-17.
Well, I know we're all going to be cheering and rooting for Kiko Alonso and Byron Maxwell on the fish, right? Maybe not. Got to go with the Steelers at Heinz Field, just like you, Fred. Steelers win this one.
Well, you're not picking the Dolphins because of Matt Moore. I am picking the Steelers because of Ben Roethlisberger. So I'm going Big Ben at home in the cold, in the playoffs. It's Roethlisberger time. Steelers.
Fry up the burgers.
Let's next go to
game Lambeau. Lambeau. Giants 11-5, traveling to the Packers, who are 10-6. The Packers have won 6 in a row, and the Giants weren't even supposed to show up last week. Surprisingly, did beat the Redskins and knock them out of the playoffs. They met the Giants and Packers met earlier this year. The Packers won 23-16. However, the last two times in the playoffs, the Giants have faced the Packers in Lambeau, they've won and rode that winning streak into the Super Bowl. The Giants' defense has played well all year. I think they'll keep it close, but I just don't think they're going to have enough offense. I'm going to finally jump on the Rodgers train. I hope I don't jinx them. 24-17 Packers.
Yeah, this is the marquee game for a lot of people. It will be for me this weekend. Could be a good one. Going to be cold, but you know, the Giants knocked them off there at Lambeau in similar situations previously, as Fred mentioned. This year, though, the Giants, for me, just don't have enough offense to go toe-to-toe with the Pack, especially the way Aaron Rodgers has been lighting it up in recent weeks, ever since that dreaded Eagles game, as a matter of fact. Let's make it 4-for-4 in favor of the home team for me. The Packers win this one.
Well, I jumped on that Aaron Rodgers train tonight. I saw him on Monday Night Football spread the Eagles like a surgeon, and there's no reason to get off now. Again, though, I got to go back and say, what in the world has happened to the Giants? I just can't figure out how they keep winning and have the record they have. Hats off to Ben McAdoo and the way these guys have played. I just can't figure it out. But it ends in the hands of Aaron Rodgers this week at Lambeau.
There you go.
Their defense, though.
All right. Yeah. All right. Hey, Fred, hang on for just a second. We're going to talk about the college games, but I think we have a caller. Did we not, Fred?
We do.
Who we have?
Who do we have on the line with
Hello?
Us?
Hello?
Hey, how are you? Do you have a trivia answer?
Yes, I do.
And
who
what's your
it?
Answer? The question, of course, regarding the Flyers and
Washington,
Bob Kelly.
Washington yep. Capitals.
You've got it. Who
Washington
is this?
Washington Capitals is.
This is Joe
who
Stinger
we talking
from
to?
Florida.
Oh, hey, Joe.
Stinger
Joe?
From Florida. How you doing, guys?
Yeah, great, Joe. Great to hear from you. How are you enjoying the sunshine?
Enjoying it immensely. It's only going to be 75 degrees tomorrow, so I don't know. It's getting a little chilly.
Rub it in.
Yeah, Washington Capitals. Bob Kelly left, played his last two seasons with the Caps, had his best offensive year of his career with 26 goals and 36 assists.
Yep. I'd say a lot of people wouldn't remember that, I don't think.
I talked to Bob in the interview that you're going to hear in a few minutes. So, yeah, we talked about that season and a half that he played with the Capitals. Great job, Joe.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Joe, appreciate it. We'll get Carl to send that off to you. If he probably got your address, but if he doesn't, I will get it from you.
Yes, he does. He has my address. I've ordered some stuff already, and he sent it down to me. There's not too many places down here like Carl's.
No, none. There are none.
Congrats, Joe.
All right.
Okay,
Joe,
thank you very much, and good listening to you guys. Take care.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, Fred, before we get away, the college football season is down to one game. I think it's safe to say the two best teams are going to be playing for all the marbles Monday night in Tampa. Fred, who do you like? 7-point favorite, Alabama Crimson Tide, or the Clemson Tigers coming off a blowout of Ohio State?
Well, you know how Bama's been, and you know how us SEC teams go. We stick together, right? Not this week. I'm rolling with the Tigers. I think Deshaun Watson, it's their turn this year, and they're going to knock off Saban and the Crimson Tide.
Now, as for me, I was wrong about Clemson, Ohio State. I admit it, I was way wrong. This should be a pretty good game once again. What the heck? I'm going to go out on a limb, and like Fred, I'm picking Clemson to win it all.
Well, you guys are just killing me because I'm taking Clemson. I'm thinking – I think
Alabama.
I'm not an Alabama fan. I'm not a Southeast Conference fan. But I tell you this, man, I don't know what that whole mess is with Lane Kiffin leaving in the middle of the week and all that, and whatever Nick's doing down there, and it's a distraction. If you got a different guy in the last game of the season calling play, it's just not going to work out. And honestly, I think Washington did a real nice job defensively with Alabama, pushed some guys around a little bit up front. And if not for the defense making the plays they made, Washington makes that a really close game, although Alabama would have probably won.
Let's hope it's a good game.
Clemson. Yes, sir. All right, well, we'll talk about that next week, Fred, and we'll be back. We'll talk about the next round of the playoffs, and we'll talk about the national championship. But as always, you are all over things.
All right, guys. I'll see you. Can't wait to listen to the Hounds. Talk to you.
All right.
Thanks, Fred.
Sounds good. Hey, Chad, as we said, we talked about it. It's officially hockey season for you and many others in the area now that football is over. And we wanted to start the season off with a really cool hockey guest, and we certainly got one when you had a chance to visit with Bob the Hound Kelly.
Well, let's get right to it. Flyers fans, enjoy.
Very happy to be joined on Philly Press Box Radio by a popular Philadelphia Flyer from the 1970s, a two-time Stanley Cup winner, Bob the Hound Kelly. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
Ah, the pleasure's mine, believe me. Hound, coming up in about a week and a half, Saturday the 14th, something that's pretty cool here in the 50th anniversary Flyer season, an alumni game at the center matching some greats from years gone by from Flyers and Penguins teams. Who are some of the guys who will be lacing up the skates for this great event?
Well, obviously they're going to bring in Clark Barber and Leach. I don't know how much speed's left in those legs. It was quite a while ago. Joe Watson back in D, and then obviously you got, you know, Propp and Poulin, pretty good combination in there. And then you got Lindros's big lines coming back intact. I mean, we have Danny Briere. I know we got the Friggy and Kinderchuk and a few of us that still play around here. So it should be a lot of fun. And again, you know, thanks to all the people who are purchasing tickets because it all goes to charity. So that makes it well. I'm not sure who Pittsburgh has. I think they have Troy Loney, and Trottier's going to play, a longtime hero for the New York Islanders. So it should be really good. But, you know, I've always had a history of I really couldn't care less who puts on a jersey. They're not part of mine, so I really don't care.
You're playing, Bob. Are you in game shape?
It depends for what. For sitting on the bench and cheering, perfect. For up and down sprints, we'll get there.
All right.
I'm still out there quite a bit doing, you know, hockey clinics for kids and on the ice. And our alumni team is still pretty active with, you know, 8 to 12 games a year here. And, you know, we get a pretty good turnout of guys come play for that. So we're playing pretty competitive against that level. So, you know, if they go, you know, decade to decade, it should be a lot of fun. But all I know is that the Big E's been up there. He's got the Hall of Fame. He's been getting all kinds of kudos and accolades, and he's been telling everybody he's having fun playing Tuesdays and Thursdays with the guys and Maple Leafs and stuff like that. So we'll give him plenty of ice time.
Oh, yeah. And as you noted, proceeds from the game will benefit the charitable and community-based works of the Flyers Alumni Association and Flyers Charities. I think the game is just about sold out, but you can check ticket info at 215-218-PUCK. And we should also mention there is an alumni meet and greet event on Friday the 13th. And I think you've got another alumni game coming up on February 5th at Santander Arena in Reading, home of the ECHL's Reading Royals. And it looks like you're going to be playing in that one too, Bob.
Yeah, we had a real good fun time there last year with. We didn't know how that game would go. And we tried to get Detroit down here, Toronto, Ottawa, Boston, and we couldn't get any takers to play us. So we ended up bringing in enough guys to field two teams out there. It was a lot of fun. The people in Reading were outstanding. It's obviously our farm team, which feeds our American Hockey League team in Lehigh Valley. And we sold out in 3 days. I mean, it's only 7,400 seats, but it was just awesome time. And they set up different things where you get an opportunity to meet and greet. But the people were great. They did a great montage. It was really well organized, well done. And they reached out to see if we had some interest in doing it again this year. So, you know, once guys go out there and you have fun, and the greatest thing you miss when you retire, it's not actually playing the game. It's a locker room banter. And, you know, from the Winter Classic, a lot of guys are returning to play here. And, you know, when you can get four decades together and everybody just kind of blends with everybody, it's a pretty special thing. And camaraderie is outstanding between everybody. And, you know, Brad Marsh has done an outstanding job putting things together with the Sugar House Casino. We got some military events we're going to do in the daytime with some of the kids when Pittsburgh's done. So, you know, it's a fun full couple days, and, you know, we'll need a rest after that.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned how quickly these things sell out. Does it ever surprise you how beloved the players from those mid-70s cup-winning Flyers teams have always been and still are now 40-plus years later?
Well, you know, I think we thank the St. Louis Blues, Boston, and Scotty Bowman for letting us build our identity. And, you know, it comes from the passion and the love that we have for Mr. Snyder. And he's always been all about the fans first, and the players right there alongside him. There's never been one higher than the other. And it's transcended down through the different decades here. And, you know, like when Clarkie shut down, became the general manager, and the different guys that we've had in place here, I mean, they're all high-intensity guys that know nothing more than just to go out there and work hard and show compassion and respect for our fans, because without them, it's an empty building. And, you know, we got great loyal fans here, and fans do come first in our mind. And it's just great when you can put on an event and you can fill it. And, you know, you might go somewhere and make $4 million, $5 million a year playing hockey, but, you know, you skate out into a building, it's got 12,000 people. It's pretty empty. I mean, you know, our fans come first, and they're such loyal and great passionate fans. It's been an unbelievable run for everybody here.
You just mentioned someone that I was going to ask you about, the legendary Ed Snyder. We, of course, lost him last spring, the Flyers chairman and owner from the very beginning. If there's a Mount Rushmore for Philly sports, he's up there for me, Bob.
Yeah, without question, he's right up there in the top. You know, Joe Frazier is right up there with him as well, too, obviously as an athlete, not as an owner. But, you know, what he went through, the early struggles to get it to, you know, come up with the money and the way the thing grew and how he threw the spectrum together, put a team out there. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. And then there's all the other things that he's accomplished and done and put a stamp on everything that he has done. And in the end, the best relationship was, you know, partnership with Comcast and Dave Scott, Brian Roberts, and the late Ralph Roberts. I mean, nothing but the greatest people here as owners right now. And they want to continue the legacy of Ed Snyder, which is giving back, being part of the fabric for the community and helping out.
Hey, we all loved your coach, of course, Freddie Sherrill, but he was a bit unusual, I guess you could say. Any good Freddie the Fog stories come to mind?
Well, Freddie had all kinds of different stories. You know, we were, after Clarkie got the captaincy there a couple of years after when Eddie, you know, kind of stepped down and handed to Clarkie. So we're out there doing some drills on the ice and everything. And finally, Clarkie went over and said, you know, Freddie, he said, these drills make absolutely no sense whatsoever in what we're trying to accomplish. And he says, I know that. I've been waiting for somebody to come up and challenge me. So another time, Rick McLeish. He wasn't playing that well. He's been sluggish for 4 or 5 games. So Freddie walked into the locker room with a pail of water. Put it down in the center of the locker room. He said, McLeish, get over here. He says, now put your hand in the water. Now take your hand out of the water. So Ricky does. He looks at Freddie. He said, that's how long it's going to take to replace you, so you better get your ass going. So, you know, you could ramble tales forever talking about Freddie. He was awesome. He was awesome for our team. I mean, take 25 idiots like us on the road was pretty cool. And then, you know, get us out and get us back there. But, you know, travel was different. But he was great for our team. He really was.
Oh, yeah, they were some great days for sure. Hey, I bet some Flyers fans don't even remember this, Bob, but you actually finished your career with the Washington Capitals, and you had your best season, in fact, scoring-wise, with them, the 1980-81 campaign, when you scored 26 goals to go along with 36 assists. What got into you that year?
Nothing, really. I went down there, I got traded. It's funny, because we knocked them out of the playoffs the last game at the Spectrum, and Washington just needed a win or a tie, and they were leading 2-0, and then a guy named Gary Rissing decided he was going to take a run at me, and it didn't work out well for him. So we ended up coming back. We roared back. We beat him. We knocked him out of the playoffs. and then I get traded. Now I got to go down there in August and start training camp, you know, with these guys, and we just finished knocking them out. So then he put me with Pronovol and Dennis Maruk, and we just kind of clicked right off the get-go, and my role had kind of changed a little bit, playing a regular shift, you know. I still had 14 fights, made the 100 fight club. Penalties were there, but, you know, I got the playing time, I got the minutes, and so your role changed around a little bit. But anybody here that had a role would play in a role to be with the Flyers as opposed to going down there and getting more ice time and everything. And at the end of the year, it's how far, you know, you went as a team in the playoffs, which measures, you know, what your team is, not by individual stats.
Yep. Hey, one of your claims to fame is that you scored the game-winning goal in the Game 6 clincher of the 75 Cup Finals against the Sabres, just seconds after taking a hard check into the glass behind the net from Jerry Korab. What do you remember about that goal?
I got $5 for it.
$5?
Yeah. We used to practice that play all the time after practice, and Freddie would always, just like doing shootouts, and Freddie would always pay you $5, and back then that would give you a, you know, tank of gas for your car or get you over the bridge, you know, 10 times. So we had practiced that a little bit, and, you know, I was not shocked, but pleased that, you know, Mike Nicolick said, you know, we got to change the lines up a little bit. So the puck went in, and we just did what we normally did. And Clark, he made the bump, gave me an opportunity to get out front. But, you know, that's only one goal, you know, and that's in the sixth game. But, you know, think of all the countless goals before that that had to happen before you get that opportunity. So you take advantage of, you know, opportunities you get and situations, and it worked out well. But it's, let's face it, you know, I wasn't putting in the 50, 60 goals like Reggie and Billy and Lonsberry and Dorney and those guys. So just another goal along the line, which, you know, made our team who we are.
You also had a pretty good goaltender in 74 and 75, didn't you?
He wasn't bad. If he hadn't got hurt in 75, yeah, you know, we probably could have done three-peat, but we didn't have him. We didn't have McLeish. I'm sorry, 76.
When, right.
And Montreal is still stinging about that. They still hate us, which is awesome. You know, all the accomplishments that organization has had, all the achievements over all the years that they've played, and, you know, Larry Robbins, got to say the greatest day in history was the day they took the cup away from the Flyers. So that's the sign that we really made, you know, an impression on Montreal, and they still hate us. So it was a good rivalry.
Speaking of 1976, 41 years ago next week, the Flyers played the Soviet Red Army. And, of course, you guys won the game 4-1. Where does that game rank in memorable moments for Bob Kelly?
I think you got to put it third. Obviously, you can't replace the Cups. There's no replacing the Stanley Cups. The Russian was a one-game thing, but the problem was that they were the touring Soviet team, which was the best, and nobody had beat them, so they were claiming supremacy till they got to us. And then the way the game turned out, you know, we end up beating them, and never really had a team walk off the ice before, and people kept saying we intimidated and hit them, but, you know, we may have put a little more oomph into it in some situations. But you got to remember, these guys are all guys that if they weren't playing hockey, and they're still a combination of, they were in the Army. So, you know, intimidation, I don't think, was part of it. I think what it was is that Freddie really screwed them up, you know, studying their play, and they studied our play, and we didn't play anything like the way that, you know, they had film on us. So we played a totally different style. I think we totally confused them. I mean, they kept circling, springing, trying to spring somebody, and we just kind of put up the Flyer line there, and we weren't breaking down. So I think it was a whole system that screwed everything up. And then when Mr. Snyder told them that we weren't going to pay him for any of the games, then they decided they better come back out and play, and the rest is history.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we talk about the current Flyers quite often on Philly Press Box Radio, Bob. They had their 10-game winning streak recently, but have struggled the last few weeks since then. What is your take on this team, which is currently sitting in the final Eastern Conference playoff spot?
Well, it's a hard battle out there. The game is not an easy game the way it's played today. These guys are so big, so fast. Time and space evaporates in a hurry. You know, technically, you don't see a whole lot of pretty goals anymore. It's like jammed in front of the net because, you know, rules are different in front of the net, and they just shoot and hope for deflection and all that. You know, going down and picking passes. I mean, St. Louis and Chicago the other day made some great passes for goals, but, you know, time and space out there evaporates, and it's a fast game. You got to be three plays ahead before you even pick the puck up where it's going and where you're going to head from. And, you know, these goaltenders are fantastic. They're all huge. They're quick. It's a tough battle out there. And the way the point system is set up out there, we go on a 10-game winning streak, and, you know, it's really hard to get separation. Lose six games, and you're still right in the hunt. You don't lose separation because you get that extra point and everything. So it's, I think the NHL likes it because instead of being done in the end of January, 1st of February, you know, your team's still got a shot. You still got a chance in there, and teams are still have an opportunity to get there even though it's so close. So I think the NHL likes the way that it's set up, but it's sure hectic and hairy on the fans and that, and just hard to get separation.
Hey, Bob, tell everybody what you're up to these days with the Flyers organization.
I'm just like a big kid. I just go have fun every day. I work down here, but we're involved with all facets during game time, part of the game presentation. You know, we have the hometown heroes, which are mostly all of our military that we're proud to recognize and salute down here. You know, we do all the mites on ice behind there, sponsored by AAA. So we do pictures and give them all kinds of swag when they get off the ice with the kids, which is fun. We do school assemblies for kids. We do hooked on hockeys. You know, we're all over the place doing whatever it takes. Golf footing's a big part in the summertime. And you know, we just try to reach out and be part of the community. Snyder Hockey is obviously huge. And, you know, we go into all those rinks and put on clinics and help out and go support what they're trying to do and just kind of having fun. It's kind of like a dream job because it's not a job. You just get up every day and you meet people and they're all pumped up. You're all talking hockey and doing hockey. So it's a great situation where I have a lot of opportunity to interact with the fans and they bring up the old stories and remember stuff that I can't remember. But it's been a good time. And like I said, when I retired, I went into private business for 20-some years. In 2003, Mr. Snyder called and said that he's kind of looking for somebody to be like World Be Free for the Sixers, working in the community, doing stuff. And so I went down and interviewed, and here I am 13 years later. So, you know, all what I have, I thank him, and I thank the fans for giving us an opportunity to go here and go to work and represent Flyers and Comcast.
Yeah, not a bad gig. Hey, in our final 2 minutes, Bob, let's finish up with a quick little Q&A segment that we call Fast Five. Five easy questions, five brief answers. Sound good?
Sure, let's go.
All right. Hey, you accumulated more than 1,400 penalty minutes in your NHL career. What's your most memorable fight?
Probably Steve Dermano, who I grew up with St. Louis Blues. He knocked the trainer's teeth out, and I jumped over the boards and beat the crap out of him.
Among your 1970s Flyers teammates, who had the best sense of humor?
Probably Larry Goodenough, Billy Barber. The guys all had different personalities, but they're all fun, or we wouldn't have been there. And it just, I mean, when we took 25 characters on the road, they were all characters, trust me, in all shape and form.
Oh, yeah. What's the best part of playing in these alumni games like the one coming up on the 14th?
I think just hanging out in the locker room and busting each other's stones and having fun and reminiscing the past. And at the end of the day, you go out and you play the game and you raise money for charity to help out whatever the cause is.
Number four, I know you can't believe everything you read on the internet, but Wikipedia says you've been known by several nicknames beyond the Hound and Machine Gun Kelly. It lists another nickname for you as the Grass Fairy. Any truth to that one?
No, absolutely not. I have no idea where that came from. It's probably an opposition guy that used to throw barbs at me, but no, I have no idea where that one came
from. Yeah, that went through me for a loop. And finally, I've always wondered this. When you scored for a case of Tasty Cake, did you actually get the cupcakes?
Well, let me tell you something. I didn't score that many goals in a year, and I had way more Tasty Cakes than I needed, but I was in shape back in those days, and they used to fill the rooms down there with Tasty Cakes. And I tell you what, every Flyer that played on those teams, we always had the longest lines for Halloween because we all had cases of Tasty Cakes out there for the kids, so it worked out well.
I bet. Bob Kelly, this has been a blast. Thanks very much for taking the time to visit Philly Press Box Radio.
Anytime. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, Chet.
He was great, wasn't he?
Just too good. And, you know, I love a whole lot of that stuff, but the Tasty Cake thing, what a great question and what a great answer.
I never got the real story on that. You know, did they get the Tasty Cake? So, yeah, he cleared that up for us. He was great. And thanks again to Steve Switkiewicz, who's acting as something of a player agent for some of the former Flyers and former Eagles. Swit put us in touch with Bob Kelly, so we really appreciate that. Yeah, the Hound was awesome. He's going to be playing in that charity game next weekend, the alumni game, which is apparently sold out already. So good luck finding tickets. What a great guy.
Yeah, what a great way to start off 2017 for Philly Press Box Radio. That was awesome.
Yeah, we love the former players and their stories. That's always fun.
Well, hey, speaking of that, you're going to have a hard time outdoing that next week. So who do you have lined up for next week's show?
Well, next week, Bill, we have a returnee, very versatile writer from the Philly Daily News, who's going to be able to discuss all of the Philly teams without a problem, and that includes those Villanova Wildcats who are riding a 20-game win streak as we speak. We'll see if that holds up. He's been here twice over the past year. We enjoyed having him, and now we've got him again. Mike Kern from the Daily News joins us.
The Colonel. Okay, good deal.
Yep.
Looking forward to that. He will, and you know, we'll have to talk Villanova with him because he'll be all over that.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, Chet, I mentioned last week that this could happen, and sure enough, the Philly Press Box Radio Pick'em Poll went down to the very last game of the season. Ed Chambers and Billy Furman were tied going into the last game, or the last week. They ended up with four different picks on Sunday, Ed won two of them. Billy won two of them. So they went into the last game tie. Ed ends up winning the tiebreaker by 0.5%.
Oh, wow.
Due to the tiebreaker rules, we actually recorded over like 270 games, and it came down to point on a tiebreaker. So congratulations, Ed Chambers. He is the winner of the signed Eagles Reggie White mini helmet.
That is pretty wild how tight it was. Congrats to Ed. That is a great season for Ed and a great season for everybody who participated in the pool, except maybe me, who was, you know, maybe middle of the pack at best.
Well, since you said that, I really wasn't going to mention it, but I will. I looked at the standings, and you were ahead of Danny Boy, Fred and Butter, and Kool-Aid Sullivan. You were ahead of all of them. So
wow.
It's another success. You got it.
Go figure.
Hey,
yep. I'll take it.
We're running out of time, but I wanted to get your opinion of the Rose Bowl and where the Penn State Nittany Lions played their hearts out, but maybe let one slip away.
Wow, first of all, what a game. A heck of a lot more entertaining than the two CFP semifinals 2 days earlier, that's for sure. As you said, Penn State battled back. They were down by 13 early, then they tied it up, went ahead by two touchdowns, only to make some mistakes, I guess, in the final few minutes. Very exciting game, but for me, anyway, a heartbreaking 52-49 loss. And how good is Saquon Barkley, by the way? Wow, what a performance he had.
Well, I was going to say to you, you know, I kind of snickered a little bit to myself when Blair Thomas said the best one of all was Saquon Barkley. And
yeah.
I'm not snickering now. I don't watch many games where I actually say, wow. But when he was making that run, I was saying,
oh,
wow.
Yeah.
My wife was like, what's the matter? What's the matter? I said, just watch this. It's wow.
Yeah, he got some great moves, some nice cutbacks. He's quick. And he's going to be back next season. That's the best part for Penn State.
Oh, nothing but upside for the Nittany Lions, along with all of our Philly teams as well. So, hey, Chad,
yep.
I wanted to say that we did it. Our new website, as we talked about, PhillyPressBoxRadio.com. We surpassed the 10,000 visitor number in just 3 months, and all I can say, again, is wow and thank you.
Yeah, that was kind of an unofficial goal, I think, getting to 10,000 by January 5th, the three-month anniversary. And we did it with a day to spare, in fact. So thank you, everyone. Long live Philly Press Box Radio.
And by the way, Chet, the website's going to be getting a makeover here by the end of the week, so stay tuned for that, too. We're leaving
yep.
football. We're headed for hockey. Hey, Chet, let's get it real quick. Our signing updates and Carl's cards and collectibles. As we mentioned, Carl's holding his first signing of 2017 with the Chiefs, Bobby Taylor. He has added former bully Terry Crisp for that signing. So you can get both Cup champions. Crisp, not an easy autograph to get. So you can get all the details. Go to our website, PhillyPressBoxRadio.com. Click on the Carl's cards and collectibles banner on the top and go directly to Carl's website. Or stop by Carl's Cards and Collectibles at 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Give Carl a call, 610-789-4996. Or you can also contact Carl on Twitter at Carl's Cards. Mr. Chesko, parting shot.
Well, this will shock you, Bill, but I didn't get around to writing one this week, so I will just say it is a new year, and I really do think that all four major Philly pro teams are heading in the right direction. As you said, a lot of upside. It's fun to watch Embiid and the Sixers, who will soon, we think, be joined by Ben Simmons. The Eagles have their franchise quarterback and now just have to add some quality pieces around him. The Phillies have a lot of young talent that I expect will get better. And the Flyers have all those young guys to go with Giroux and Voracek. If the goaltending situation pans out, they'll be a legit contender. Plus, there is Villanova basketball and Penn State football to enjoy, too. So let's hope for an awesome 2017 for our teams and for our listeners.
Amen. Well, Tim, we are at the top of the hour, so let's thank our special guests, Bob the Hound Kelly, Fred Hugo, Carl's Cards and Collectibles for their continuing support of the show, Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chesko, this is Bill Furman. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll join Philly Press Box Radio next Wednesday, January 11th, when Mike Curran comes to visit. You can listen through our new website, PhillyPressBoxRadio.com, or on Facebook, or on the Internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/ Philly Press Box Radio or on both iTunes and Stitcher. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.